Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, Ash Wednesday falls on quite an ironic day. Of all days, Valentine's Day. A day of ashes and repentance, and for some people, fasting and giving up certain delicacies and luxuries, mixed with a day of flowers and romance, love and indulgence in candy and soda and surf and turf. What is a person to do? Do you fast or do you feast? Do you buy the red roses or dress in black and ashes? Or perhaps both? I'll just tell you right now, it doesn't really matter if you wear the ashes or not. If you do, and you do for the reason remembering your sin, that's a good reason. If you bought roses today for your wife, for your husband, that's a good reason too. It's not about the ashes and the roses, but it is an odd day to have Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day on the same day. It's actually the first time it's happened, apparently since 1945. And if there's any indicator on what kind of year this will be, well, the last time this happened in 1945, it was a pretty good year. World War II ended, and the Detroit Tigers beat the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day on the same day. It's sort of weird. It's oxymoronic. It's sort of like if Easter Sunday and April Fool's Day were on the same day. Oh, wait, that's going to happen too. And that happened back in 1945 as well. Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day seem like polar opposites. And yet, I would say they have a lot in common. They have one really important image in common. Hearts. Hearts are the most important muscle in the entire human body. This past fall, some of the staff, parish nurses, and I did some CPR training. And then just recently, ushers, elders, other leaders in the church were asked to attend emergency responding training. Not quite the full CPR training, but in that training, we had certified people come and teach us that the most important thing to do if we have somebody who is unresponsive, after we check to make sure they're unresponsive, is 100 to 120 chest compressions, 2 inches deep, right near the heart, to keep that heart pumping blood. If it's not pumping, the human hand must do it. I remember when I was first CPR certified, I was at a Lutheran camp in the summer, and I was always trying to remember how many compressions and then how many breaths, and now they say forget the breath. Breath doesn't matter as much as compressions. Keep the heart pumping the blood. Because if there's no blood, then there's no oxygen. If there's no oxygen for the body, then your brain really doesn't matter. Your kidneys, your liver, your stomach, it doesn't matter. The heart is the most important muscle in the entire body. Without it, you die quickly. And maybe because it's the most important muscle in the human body, that's the reason the heart has become a metaphor for so many positive things. For strength, we say he or she has a heart of a lion. For compassion, we might say he or she has the heart of a saint. For love, we might say he or she has my heart. And so Valentine's Day is all about hearts. And you can see why. We eat heart-shaped candies. We give heart-shaped cards, we make heart-shaped decorations, and give them to the people we love, because hearts show love. Hearts show compassion. Hearts show strength. In the ancient world, the heart was an image for intelligence or knowledge, where you would have your thinking faculties. In fact, when we use word pairs like heart and mind, the actual Hebrew language is kidneys and heart. So the word for heart is translated into mind. But actually, in the Hebrew Bible, it's hearts. You think you know with your hearts in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's pretty close as well. St. Paul talks about faith residing in a person, not in the brain, but in the heart. He writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He doesn't say believe with your brain or believe with your mind. He says believe in your heart. And so Ash Wednesday, like Valentine's Day, is all about hearts. You heard the readings from Joel to Ephesians, even Jesus, talking about hearts. And you can see why, if in the Hebrew culture and in even the New Testament, the Greek language, it's all about believing with your hearts. God wants His people, His creation, to have faith in Him, a pure faith in Him, in who He is and what He does. God wants you and I to have a pure relationship, a pure heart towards Him and who He is for us. But we don't. And that's the problem. And the consequence for not having a pure heart, a perfect heart, a holy heart, the consequence is steep when you are in relationship or not in relationship with a perfect, holy, pure God. The consequence is death. And so ashes become the symbol. Because our love is imperfect. Our faith is imperfect. Yet our God is perfect. He is perfectly faithful, perfectly loving. And yet, we are not. And on our own, the ashes remind us of our destiny. His very words to Adam and Eve when they broke the relationship, when their hearts became impure and imperfect. From the dust of the ground you were formed, and to the dust of the ground you will return. We shall return to dust, just like Adam and Eve and all who have gone before us. Our bodies to dust, the dust of the ground. And that's not good news. It's bad news. It's depressing news. There's no hope in dust and ash. There's no hope for us. Unless there is one who has enough heart. The heart of a lion. The strength of a lion. Unless there's one who has the heart of a saint. The compassion of a saint. Unless there would be one who can love someone so special. Someone who can do all these three things. Strength, compassion, and love. There's this show called Chicago Med. Aaron and I watch this show. It's one of our shows that we watch. It sort of replaced ER from the mid to late 90s and early 2000s. It's about a hospital setting in the ER. And recently there was a particular story where this husband and wife, they come into the Chicago ER after a really bad car accident. The husband goes directly to the OR. He's in really bad shape. The wife is conscious, and she's not doing well, but she's going to make it. And she's really concerned for her husband, but she's even more concerned because the last thing she said to her husband before they got crushed by the car accident was, "I do not love you." She's so concerned in this episode that her husband makes it because she doesn't want the last thing her husband to hear is, "I do not love you." But then she's tragically told that her husband's going to die. And he's an organ donor. She has to make a decision to donate her husband's organs. She concedes. Later in the episode, she's told that her husband's organs served many people and saved people, including a young man who's now in the ICU, had a successful heart transplant surgery. Then she asks the doctors if she can see the man, sedated, unconscious, in the ICU. the man who now has her husband's heart. Because she wants to speak heart to heart. The doctors have never had this request before. They reluctantly allow her to be wheeled in her wheelchair to the man who's recovering from heart surgery so she can speak to her husband's heart. It's a moving scene. It's a touching scene. But while she's allowed to speak to the beating heart, and while it's a touching scene, and while it might be a therapeutic moment in a make-believe story, she utters the words, "I'm sorry, I love you." And yet, the heart's alive, and her husband's dead. The scene might be therapeutic for her, but it's tragic. Deathly tragic. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. But who among us is pure in heart? Ash Wednesday reminds us no one is. Whether you have ashes on your forehead or not, no one can stand before this God. But Valentine's Day on Ash Wednesday reminds us that we do have someone strong enough with enough heart, compassionate enough with enough heart, and loving enough with enough heart. Jesus. In Jesus, like the woman who wanted to speak to her dead husband's alive heart, Jesus is the one who wants to speak to us heart to heart. When we speak to each other heart to heart, we convey information. When Jesus, the Son of God, speaks to heart to heart, His words do things. His words make dead alive. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus comes and speaks heart to heart, not from a wheelchair, but from His cross and through the empty tomb. He speaks words that do things, and His words make our dead hearts alive again. His words change our life. He speaks heart to hearts, as St. Paul says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Christ speaks heart to heart, so He may dwell in your hearts. The risen Christ, He's alive, and when He speaks, He makes the dead alive. And you're alive because He's spoken to you, heart to heart. So go show the world that you're alive because of Jesus. And now speak to other people, heart to heart, not your words, but the words of Jesus. Because blessed are the pure of hearts. Your heart's pure because Jesus has spoken to you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You have seen God in the face of Jesus. In His name, amen.